Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Welcome to the latest United We Stand podcast. I'm Andy Mitten and we're recording this just after Manchester United have beaten Brighton and Hove Albion. Came from behind yet again, more points from a losing position than any other team in the league. United are second with 60 points from 30 games. That is 14 more points than at the same stage last season. And I've said that a few times, and I think that's relevant, but we also must stress that last season's points total was nowhere near sufficient. And while nobody will be celebrating finishing second, I think it's also fair to say nobody expected United to finish second this season. I think everybody thought that it would be Liverpool and City. And now United are 11 points clear of fifth place, Liverpool and Tottenham. So the team are in a very strong position. I say that with a but because Manchester City are strolling away with the league, but it's comfortable in the Premier League and United can now focus on a Europa League match at Granada. I'll be there. I'll start recording the next podcast from there on Thursday. Granada got beat 3-0 by Villarreal at the weekend, so United will be clear favourites for that one, and it's the biggest game in Granada's history. It's just a shame, a great shame, that there will be no fans there for them, but also for United, because Granada is one of the best cities in Spain. It's absolutely beautiful. It'd be a great place for a European away trip. The weather's gets nice. You could ski there if you wanted to, go on the beach if you wanted to. There's only less than 50 miles between the beaches of the Costas and the Sierra Nevada, but we're not going to talk about geography. I'm joined now by a stand contributor. We've both just watched the game against Brighton, Remo. What did you make of it? One of our other United We Stand contributors, Alex, just messaged me and said we would have been booed off the pitch after that. And I disagree with him. I just couldn't imagine United fans booing the team off after coming behind against Brighton. A poor first half performance from United, or a good first 10 minutes, but Brighton. And then United got better, not much better, but better in the second half, and obviously got them two goals from Marcus Rashford and two top goals. What did you make of it?
Yeah, it was a bit deja vu. I don't think they'd have been booed off at the end by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not sure where that comes from, but there might have been a few rumblings at half time. It was a poor first half, bar the first 5 or 10 minutes. They looked really sharp. But yeah, they just went into a shell after Brighton scored and just did that thing where they just move it from side to side with no real purpose up front. Cavani didn't look right to me at all, didn't look match fit or sharp. But, you know, they found a way to win, and that's going to be really, really important. If they can keep that going into next season with some additions to the team, then that's going to be really important, because it's that will to win and believing they're going to win that is absolutely vital. So yeah, you know, it wasn't ideal, a lot of it, but I thought that, you know, some stuff was really good. Greenwood played well, Shaw was excellent again, and defence solid, apart from, you know, Wan-Bissaka for the goal, who again lost against a good cross. But overall, yeah, you know, a win's a win.
So you mentioned a few of the players there. Cavani, I thought he had a very poor game. I think it's been important that he's started matches. He's started far too few matches. And I always felt that he's either going to be a Zlatan signing or a Falcao signing. And it's looking more like a Falcao signing. He's just not playing enough matches. And he's missing games for different reasons. And there's mitigating circumstances. I've said it a few times. The timing of the move's bad. He's moved to a city in a pandemic where he doesn't speak the language. He got accused of being racist for a tweet, which I didn't think was racist. But he looks so off the pace against Brighton. Luke Shaw is the cover star of the new United We Stand. That comes out on Tuesday. You can order a copy if you PayPal $3.99 to UWSMag. At yahoo.co.uk. You can subscribe to the digital edition. That's probably cheapest outside the UK if you want to avoid the postal charges. And there's loads of stuff in that issue, including a page from your good self, Jamie. We asked readers to send some questions in for us. Have you got them to hand?
Yeah, I've got a few of them. Yeah, I've just been looking at them now. Yeah, interesting.
Some Any good ones?
Well, the one that interested me the most was one basically that asked, would we take Liverpool winning the Champions League if it meant stopping City winning the quadruple or the treble?
Oof. That's like the horse question, but for football.
It is a bit, yeah.
What would you go on that one?
Yeah, I'd have Liverpool winning... What would it be? Seven then, would it?
Yeah,
I'd take that every day of the week if it stopped City doing either the treble or the quadruple.
I'm going to watch Liverpool on Tuesday in Madrid. Last time I went to see Liverpool was in Madrid in 2019, so that was obviously a buzz. But anyway, that's an aside. Any other decent questions?
A lot of questions about Martial. And quite a few about Pogba. Someone asked De Gea or Henderson, and genuinely, therefore, Andy, what would you have said? Who did you think was going to get picked today?
I thought Henderson, because I think I know that the coaches inside Old Trafford feel that at the very least he deserves a run of games rather than isolated cup matches. He's getting that run of games. You could say he deserves that run of games. I don't think Ollie's made his mind up as to who's going to be his number one. I know he says that he's got two number ones, but let's be realistic. It's not really worked at any club switching goalkeepers throughout a season. So slightly complicated because De Gea earns so much money. I don't think there'll be a long queue of takers for him. His stock in Spain is nowhere near what it was, and yet he's the highest paid Spanish, not just goalkeeper, but footballer in the world. What's your view on it? How do you think Henderson did? Do you think he's got a long-term future at United?
Yeah, definitely. I do. He made a good save, which unfortunately led to their goal, but it was a good save from the initial header. I don't know, he just looks a bit more confident to me. And I think rightly or wrongly, I think his communication is better with his defenders. Now, whether that's a language thing or not, I don't know. But I think he's more comfortable coming for the ball. Probably not as good a shot stopper as De Gea. But, you know, De Gea's proved more fallible in that regard over the last couple of seasons. And I think, like you say, Henderson deserves his chance. It was interesting, though, on the United We Stand message board that prior to this game this week, everyone was saying Henderson should play, but De Gea, it'll be De Gea who gets the nod. And I genuinely never thought that. But it's interesting to see how many people didn't trust Ole to give Henderson the start. And he did. And rightly he did as well, because he's done nothing wrong. And, you know, those are the breaks, aren't they? You know, De Gea's had a few weeks off for family reasons, and you get that, but hopefully Henderson
takes this opportunity, because he did nothing wrong today. Certainly wasn't at fault for the goal. And yeah, I think he's worth taking. And I mean, what's De Gea on? $300,000, $350,000 a week.
Yeah, I mean, he signed the contract from a position of strength, because he could have left for free, and United would have had to spend a lot of money on a new goalkeeper. So if you look at what Kepa cost Chelsea, 68-69 million from Athletic Club. So De Gea was in a really good position, and he'd been playing well too. So he's earning an awful lot. I don't know the exact amount. It's not been made public, but you know, I can say with confidence that he's one of the top two earners at Manchester United. Paul Pogba is another big earner. And Oystein asks, do you believe he'll sign a new contract? So I thought it was quite interesting last week, reports in Italy that he wants to leave this summer. And I speak to people who are very close to him, and they just denied that. So don't know where the truth lies, but I trust the people who were telling me that information. Paul Pogba will leave Manchester United at some point, but as far as I am told, he would be amenable to signing a new contract, and he's not actively looking to leave Manchester United. More than that, I think he needs to do a bit more than he did against Brighton. Although he did get better, and it was his volley assisted the goal, didn't it? The winning goal. I know you've not been Pogba's biggest fan, have you?
No, and he was poor tonight. Mm-hmm. I'd love to have an energised, enthused Paul Pogba playing for Manchester United. But I think the interesting thing is, Andy, yeah, you know, you've spoken to someone who says he's not going anywhere. But how much of that is down to the fact that again, no one can really afford him, and no one really wants him, because he's, you know, I think he's a shadow of the player he was.
He's definitely a factor. Before he joined United, Barcelona wanted him. It didn't have the money. Sure. Madrid wanted him, and he wanted to go to Madrid. They were his first choice. And United convinced him to come back to Old Trafford by saying, we'll rebuild the team about you. Whereas if you go to Madrid, you'll be the number five star, if you like. And United sold him on this idea that he'd been a main man, and showed him the social media interactions when he was linked to United as opposed to Real Madrid, and he bought it. But overall, he's underwhelmed. He's had a couple of decent seasons, but I think we all expected more for the most expensive player in the world. It'd be nice to see him and Bruno properly chime, and United to push towards a league title. But he needs to be more consistent. Completely needs to be more consistent. We should say that the youth team lost to Liverpool. It was a big disappointment that on Saturday. Neil Ryan named a really strong youth team with players like Shola Shoretire, Joe Hugill, Hannibal Medjbri, and Liverpool took the lead after 13 minutes and just defended it out. So real frustrating one that for the youth team, because United have put a lot into youth and into youth development, and several of those players started. But then I always remember Sir Alex Ferguson telling players that a youth team containing Johnny Evans, Gerard Piqué, Giuseppe Rossi, and the few others, maybe Ryan Shawcross, got knocked out in the FA Youth Cup third round, the first game that they played at home to Stoke City. And they went on to have decent careers, but I still think lifting the Youth Cup would have been a big plus for United this season.
Interesting though, isn't it? When you talk about that, I was listening to an argument on the radio this week about the England under-21s and how, I've forgotten the manager's name briefly, but you know, they were saying they should sack the manager. And they said, well, what is the point of England under-21s to go and win a tournament, or to provide players who are ready to play international football for the full team? And you can say the same about the youth team, or the younger teams, if you like, at United.
Yeah.
Is the point to go and win the FA Youth Cup, which is a great, you know, don't get me wrong, it's a great thing to do. But Chelsea have won it a lot. And to be fair, yeah, you know, you could argue some of those players are now coming through, but they weren't when City, when Chelsea were winning the league, and then when they were, you know, when they were last challenging. It depends. Are you going to provide? Is it the point to just provide two or three players every couple of years who are good enough for the first team?
Yeah, it's definitely about developing the players. But I think any game against Liverpool is always about the result.
Yeah, of course it is. At that level, it is. Yeah, and when you're playing against them, of course it is. It's just interesting to me that whole people suddenly dive on it and say, "Christ, they've lost against Liverpool. That's not good enough." But you'd still say, out of that, I mean, I don't watch it as much as you do, Andy, but, you know, there's still two or three real possibilities there, aren't there? You know, Hugill, McNeil, Hannibal, Choratire. You know, good players, yeah, who really should be making it at United.
Whether they will or not, I can remember, yeah, all the excitement around people like James Wilson. There are so many factors.
Yeah.
But we'll see on that. Manscaped, have you received your... tell me what you've received.
I received what they term as a lawnmower. Lawnmower version 3.0. And on top of that, I threw in a couple of extras, which was a bottle of ball toner, which you spray on after you've used the lawnmower, just to freshen things up a bit. Although it specifically states on the side of the bottle to make sure that you do not spray onto the tip of the penis. And
Did you?
Yeah, I did. It's quite hard to miss when you're spraying from underneath. I did. It was a bit like, there's a certain shower gel that isn't sponsoring the podcast, so we won't talk about them. But sometimes if you rub that on the aforementioned part, then you get a bit of a sensation. It was a sharp sting, let's put it that way. And I also, I bought some stuff to spray on my feet, which has now to do with it. The lawnmower worked pretty nicely. I mean, I've sent you the photos, and I think you were quietly impressed.
I wasn't quietly impressed. I've not offered any opinion whatsoever to pictures of you.
Your words were good God. But I sent before and after photos to a few people, and, you know, John Ashton, who's on this podcast quite regularly, his words were, "It looks a lot better." And I think that's a triumph for Manscaped. If we can walk away and say that, you know, that lawnmower made me look a lot better, then well done to them, and more power to their lawnmower.
What percentage of people listening to this do you think shave down there? Because I have not got a clue.
Yeah, I don't know, Andy. It's an interesting one. I mean, given that we played Brighton tonight and there might be a few people down in Brighton listening, I'd hate to categorise that. But, I, Brighton being the fun-loving liberal city that it is, let's just say that I think people down there probably are a little more open about these things than we are up north.
I just don't know what to say. I mean, I've received the product, and I've not done the shaving bit, but like, the boxer shorts are really nice. The sprays are all really nice. You get a 20% off. We've paid for your one. It's not a freebie. That's why I'm asking. Is it decent gear? Because if you go,
it is.
Yeah,
and it's not cheap, but it's a bit cheaper with the discount. And I don't know, like you said, it is probably an age related thing. But give it a go, lads, and see what comes of it.
So you get 20% off and free shipping with the code United if you go to manscaped.com. It says, do yourself a favour and always use the right tools for the job. Say hello to your new beautiful balls with Manscaped. You can get anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturiser. Because we
got
know
a little torch with him. It seriously, it's a little torch so you can see where you're going. That's great.
Where's the torch?
Well, it's in the head of the shaver.
Right.
Because it can get quite dark down there, obviously, you know, so you just, you know, it helps you just make sure you don't nick anything that doesn't want to be nicked.
Where do you do the shaving, in the shower?
No, that's it. That's an interesting one. I don't, because our shower blocks really easily. So you've got to draddle the toilet. But I did notice that one of their products is like a mat that you could like shave it on and then just pour the clippings into the bin or whatever. But yeah, I straddled the toilet and just shaved it.
Right, enough. All I say is for a limited time, people who order get 2 free gifts. They get a travel bag. It's a nice one, and some boxes which reduce chafing. So there you go. Go to manscaped.com and just have a look if you're interested in that sort of stuff. We've got some more questions. Let's see now. Coming through from different people. Plenty of transfer talk, but the club evidently continue to demonstrate taking the cheap option. Asks Woody, is there a serious transfer budget this summer, or will it be more hot air from Ed and frustration for the fans? I actually think United have spent a lot of money. Don't think they've gone for the cheap option. I don't think you'd ever call Harry Maguire or Alexis Sanchez cheap. I just don't think United have spent the money particularly well in the post-Ferguson era, especially up until a couple of years ago. As far as I understand, there absolutely is money this summer. Don't think we're going to be seeing stupid amounts spent, but you could probably say that across football. But United need to strengthen. Ollie absolutely wants to strengthen, and he needs at least one more Bruno-class player. Everyone's talking about Haaland, and there's a bit of a circus developing around Haaland as his agent and his father travel around Europe, putting out their demands. And it's off the scale, and you might say that's because he's 20 years old and he's looking like the best centre forward in world football right now for the next decade. I know United have tried to sign him twice in the past. Ole Gunnar obviously knows him, and I'd love to see him at Old Trafford. I wrote a piece the other day saying that the forward line is not prolific enough. Bruno Fernandes is by a distance the top scorer, but I just can't see United going to way over 100 million and ceding to all those demands from the agent. But I don't know who else will either, because City have never been big on that. Madrid and Barca have got financial problems. You won't put it past them to get some money in from somewhere else. PSG, I don't know. Would you like to see Haaland at Old Trafford? Chelsea, they spend money. They spend serious money.
I'd love to see him at United, yeah. I think that would be a massive statement. Would it be absolutely right for us? I don't know. I've not watched enough of him. The bits I see are obviously like a highlight reel. You know, you see the goals go flying in and you think, Christ, there's a player. But, you know, we can keep buying midfielders till the cows come home. We need something up front, Andy. You saw that tonight, and we need something different, and we need someone who's going to pull defences and make those runs and you know, threaten, because teams are too comfortable with Rashford right out there on the left, and he's, you know, he runs at them, he beats the first player, but they can shuffle lads across and put two or three on him, and inevitably someone gets a nick on it, goes out for a corner, and we don't threaten from corners. There's just not enough going on up front for me. And yeah, I'd break the bank for Haaland. I think I said that last time. So yeah, that's my opinion on it. Do it.
Well, I wrote that on Friday. I mean, yeah. I just think it's a no-brainer, but it will be very difficult to get him. But the best players tend to be difficult, don't they? Ferguson always said that. He didn't like it when he got an easy player. He felt that he had to work to get a player. And United did that with Paul Pogba, and Ed Woodward had talked about United being able to compete with anyone in the transfer market. I think that's slightly changed now with PSG and Chelsea and Manchester City in the way that they're funded. The next question from Akasau, I think. How are we going to close the gap to Man City? Which players should we bring in and why? And Matthew Judd has replied to him. Last summer, people were asking how United will close a 33-point gap on Liverpool. This season, as it stands, we're 11 points clear of them. Every season is different, but what is certain that everyone will start on no points. So there's going to be no gap to close initially. Well, of course, but I think... no shit.
That was bad.
I think it's pretty ominous with City. They've got a brilliant manager and they've got a very good squad, and it's just a very well-run machine at the moment. And
yeah, but they also tend to, I don't know, they tend to go in cycles, City.
And, they do.
You know, they'll have a season on, a season off, and they were, you know, they were fairly, you know, not, they were better than us last season, but they were pretty average in the league. And like you say, Liverpool hammered them. I don't know. You know, I mentioned earlier, we're starting to get that winning mentality where they believe they can win even when they go behind, and they're not, you know, they don't panic. We're a couple of players away. I'm convinced of that. But, you know, City will strengthen this summer. Liverpool will. Chelsea will. So it's about how those players fit and injuries and fans coming back. There's so many factors. And you're just going to need, you know, there's going to be a bit of luck involved. But, yeah, you know, who would have said City would be, or in our case, you know, how far behind Liverpool we were last season, and then that turns around completely this season. It's a funny old game, Saint.
K-Mac wants to know, Martial, stay or go? Too inconsistent, so I think go. And yeah, we sign this summer? What do you think?
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. He's a slapped arse at the best of times, and he's just not played well enough this season. He's had his good times at United, but he's not a centre forward. I think we could still get decent money for him. And if that contributes towards getting someone like Haaland, then great.
Andrew McCarthy said, will Nicky Butt be replaced, or will some of his responsibilities go with Darren Fletcher? I've not been told that Nicky Butt will be replaced, no. I think it's sad that he's going, and I don't think there's any new appointments imminent there. Would you expect many outgoings at United this summer to facilitate incomings? I think that there's several players United will take a bid for and try and actively move on. The same problems face the club that have been the hallmark of recent years, in that they earn too much money. So United have got to offset the wages in a lot of cases. The best example of that was probably Nani when he went to Sporting Lisbon. United paid such a high percentage of his wages. Craig wants to know what players from the 18s or the 23s are likely to be part of the first team next season. I think we've touched on the names that are coming through. Someone also mentioned James Garner. He's doing really well at Forest. I've been told that it would be better for him next season to go on loan again, this time to a Premier League club, and continue his improvement. But he's doing really well there, and he's a sort of Michael Carrick-style player. But he's definitely highly rated at Old Trafford. Any other questions you can see, Remo?
Can't see anything that's standing out. I'm interested in that Garner one. Whenever I've looked at him, he looks a bit slight to me.
Well, he is. He's not ready for the first team yet.
No, but how old is he?
7. No. he's I think he's 20. I'll just check as I speak to you. He's 20, 21.
So I mean, he's going to fill out a bit,
and
you know, put some muscle on and what have you. But you know, that's always Matic's, you know, because you would presume if we could offload Matic within the next 12 months, then that's the kind of role that Garner might step into. But the one advantage Matic has is that he's a unit, and people don't knock him off the ball. He's a bit slow, but he wins headers, and he's not going to get knocked off the ball. Garner just looks like he might get physically dominated, to me. And if you're going to get dominated, you'll get dominated in the Championship. So if he's doing all right there, then, you know, he's learning, and that's great.
He's 20. He's just turned 20.
He's got plenty of time yet. So, yeah, you know, it's all good. There's so many. There are, you know, we say it a lot, but there's so many young lads who look promising at the minute. It's as good as it's ever been, I would say.
We've got another offer for beer. Beer 52. We've got the offer is a free case of 8 Belgian beers. You've just got to pay $5.95 in postage. You've received this case of beers.
Have, Andy, yeah. I've been drinking a couple of them tonight. The one I was drinking during the second half, which obviously coincided with United's upturn in performance, was Vit beer with orange peel and coriander, which you wouldn't probably expect to be a decent combination, but it wasn't bad, actually. It says a Belgian beer for modern times. So I definitely recommend it.
What, beer with orange peel in it? Sounds minging.
Well, you wouldn't choose to put coriander in it either, would you? But I think the Belgians have hit on a slight winner here. Like the Marouane Fellaini of beers. Looks a bit funny, but does the job.
And what do you get when all the cans come? Are they all different ones?
Yeah, all different, and you get a massive range, stouts, white beers, IPAs. You get a little bag of beer nuts. It's worth it for $5.95, absolutely. And you know, I've had Beer 52 before in terms of cases from them, and you know, it's good stuff. They know that, you know, without being fairly obvious and stating the obvious, they do know their stuff, and they pick decent beers, and you know, you always hit on a couple that turn out to be winners. So it's fairly good value, and whilst we're all still sat at home for the foreseeable, I know pubs are opening in the not too distant, but you're still going to be sat in your garden a lot this summer, so I reckon that's a worthwhile investment, definitely.
If you go to beer52.com/United, and if you cover the $5.95 postage, Beer 52 will send 8 cans straight to your door. They visit a different country each month. This month is Belgium, and they find the best small batch breweries. They sample their finest craft beers, and then they curate a case and they send them to you. So that's the one which you received. I got the one the month before, and you just get a good selection of beers there. Any others? You mentioned the one with orange peel in it. Any others?
Yeah, I had the stout. Well, I had the stout after I played five-a-side the other night. Probably wasn't the best time for a stout, to be honest, but it was all right. Yeah, it was all good, Andy. I would say if you're a beer fan, and I suspect many people listening to this podcast like a drop, give it a go.
There's no minimum commitment. If you can just take the free case, try the beers and see what you think. If it's not for you, you can pause or cancel at any time. So go to beer52.com, that's beer52.com/United, and away you go with that. We're coming towards the end now of this podcast. Let's see what else.
Tell me why, Andy.
Yeah.
Why is the Northwest Regional News called Granada?
I always understood that the people who originally set up the channel, David Plowright, if I'm not mistaken, thought that Granada was their favourite city that they'd visited and took the name from that.
Is that right?
And
I genuinely, it was an off the cuff, because you were going on about Granada before and I was drifting away a bit, thinking of Lucy Meacock in the day. And I've started thinking of her again now. Anyway,
so well,
I was just thinking, bloody hell. So I wonder if actually there is a link there between, you know, Granada reports and the city itself. There must be, obviously. But
well, I'll tell you who told me that. Stephen F. Kelly. Stephen is a Liverpool fan who lives in Manchester, and he's written 18 books, most of them about Liverpool. But one of them was an oral history of Granada, because he worked there for a long time. He worked on like World in Action. He was quite a serious journalist. And I think Sidney Bernstein started Granada. But yeah, it was definitely because of the city in Spain. And it's still going, isn't it? Still got Granada reports and...
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And so I mentioned David Plowright. He was a big hit. His daughter, Kathy, went out with Gary Bailey, the old United goalkeeper.
Who didn't go out with Gary Bailey? He had a few, didn't he?
Gary gave us a great interview years ago where he said he joined Manchester United and he'd go out, he'd be in Manchester and like, no girls were interested in him whatsoever. And when he told them that he was a goalkeeper at Man United, they're like, yeah, whatever. They just didn't believe him. And he just said, I was just a spotty kid with a weird accent from South Africa. And then when he got into the first team, whoa, his world changed. And he thought, I am the man. He said, there's so much female interest. And Gary's a good-looking lad and he's a well-educated, interesting lad.
Beating them off with a shitty stick.
He lived in Didsbury, which isn't a place where a lot of footballers tend to live. Although I think Zabaleta lived there, the city fullback. Quite an interesting place for footballers to live. But yeah, he went out with Kathy Plowright. I don't know how on earth we've got into this. But yeah, I mean, I've been to Granada 17 or 18 years ago and only for a day. But it is a really beautiful city. It's just a shame that United fans can't go there and Granada fans as well. But
well, you're going, mate.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to go to Madrid and then head south on the Avi train. And it's weird. I mean, it's weird covering these games as a journalist. Milan was just weird. You're just there in an empty stadium. I mean, it's my job. It's how I earn my living. And I am looking forward to visiting Granada. And it's not in lockdown like Milan was. And the game will be played in Granada, unlike the Real Sociedad game, which was moved to Turin. So... Let's see how it goes. But hopefully this will be the last season of this, and next season United will be in the Champions League and we'll get some good draws. It's looking good for the Champions League now.
Yeah, nailed on now, isn't it? That was crucial tonight with Leicester losing and Chelsea getting absolutely hammered. Let's just say, I was going to say something worse, but hammered by West Brom yesterday. I think we're home and hosed. And it might be an opportunity to give some of those young lads a chance before the end of the season as well. Who knows, but it might be worth a shot. If to me it doesn't really matter whether you come second, third or fourth, it might to the money men a bit, but realistically, if it's a chance to blood a few youngsters when we know we've got that Champions League spot, then that bodes better for next season and also for our chances in the Europa, obviously, because we can really focus on that.
United have only lost 4 games this season in the league out of 30, and 3 of them were in like the first month. It's a good record, that.
Brilliant.
Just the draws, too many draws, 9 draws.
Yeah, some silly ones, but we'll rectify that next year.
I hope so. So United have lost 4, City have lost 3, but the team with the fewest defeats outside of United and City is Chelsea with 7. So United have avoided the defeats. I'm still a bit annoyed about that Leicester Cup game and the RB game, but I suppose losing's part of football. And it's been good to have you on, mate. I do thank you for your time.
Not at all. I'm going to crack on with my Belgian beers.
Do you want me to bring anything from Granada? Lucy Meacock.
Some orange peel. Lucy Meacock. Oh, that was a... Anyway, I've gone.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.